Welcome to West End United Methodist Church and the service of the longest night. The purpose of this service, really the reason why we are here tonight, is to hold space for one another and for ourselves on one of the longest nights of the year. The holiday season has been called the most wonderful time of the year, but so for some of us, we don't always feel so wonderful. Many of us feel battered and bruised, and that can be isolating with everyone around us celebrating. Some of us are grieving. Others are struggling with health difficulties. And still others are living with uncertainty about jobs or finances or relationships. And some of us are here because we care for someone else and grieve for them. So tonight we will acknowledge that many of us struggle and have sorrow that we carry throughout our lives and throughout our days. But we also remember the promise of God, that the light of Christ is still coming into the world, and we will affirm, as we do every Sunday morning, that God is with us, that we are not alone, and we give thanks to God for that. I want to let you know about a couple of spaces here that's available for you throughout the service. To your right, my left, you'll see a series of prayer shawls that are laid over the pew. The prayer shawls are made by our Creative Hands team that meets twice a month. During their time together, they pray over the shawls, they chit-chat, they encourage one another. These prayer shawls are for you to enjoy during the service, to feel a sense of warmth and comfort, that embrace, as Carol mentioned a few weeks ago, that embrace of God as we sit and we pray. There, you're welcome to use those throughout the service, and you're also welcome to take them home with you for yourself or for someone that you love. You'll also notice a couple of prayer candle stations over here. After you come up and receive communion tonight, you are invited to visit the prayer candle stations to light a candle for a loved one or for yourself. Then you are also welcome to spend time at the altar where you can receive prayer or anointing by oil. We're so glad that you're here, and we pray that this space and this time will draw you closer to Christ as we depend upon the peace that only Christ can offer. As we begin this time of worship, I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join us together as we sing hymn 211, O Come, Emmanuel.
Join me now in our call to worship, printed in your bulletins. When we find ourselves in darkness, may we also find a blessing. When we find ourselves in shadows, may we also find a welcome. On this long night of the year, may we be encircled by love. On this longest night of the year, let us worship the one who calls us by name. Before our service began this night, I noticed that one of the communion chalices, one of my very own, had a crack in it, and the juice was leaking. And it reminded me that all of us have our broken places, and yet the grace and life of Christ continues to fill us and fill us and fill us. I invite you to join me now in the prayer of confession, acknowledging before God our brokenness and our need for the never-ending grace of God. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us take a moment to exchange signs of reconciliation and love and grace. The peace of Christ be with you.
We wait in the darkness, expectantly, longingly, anxiously, thoughtfully. The darkness is our friend. In the darkness of the womb, we have all been nurtured and protected.
In the darkness of the womb, the Christ child was made ready for the journey into light. It is only in the darkness that we can see the splendor of the universe. Blankets of stars, the solitary glowing of the planets.
It was the darkness that allowed the Magi to find the star that guided them to where the Christ child lay. In the darkness of the night, desert people find relief from the cruel, relentless heat of the sun.
In the blessed desert darkness, Mary and Joseph were able to flee with the infant Jesus to safety in Egypt. In the darkness of sleep, we are soothed and restored, healed and renewed.
In the darkness of sleep, dreams rise up. God spoke to Joseph and the wise men through dreams. God is speaking still. Sometimes in the solitude of the darkness, our fears and concerns, our hopes and visions rise to the surface.
We come face to face with ourselves and with the road that lies ahead of us. And in that same darkness, we find companionship for the journey. Yet in that same darkness, we sometimes allow ourselves to wonder and worry whether the human race is going to survive.
And then, in the darkness, we know that you are with us, O God, that still we await your coming.
In the darkness that contains both our hopelessness and our hope,
we watch for a sign of God's hope.
For you are with us, O God.
In darkness and in light. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I invite you to join with me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. As your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of old, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your joy to come into the world. Amen. Hear this reading from the Old Testament from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Join me as I open in prayer, please. Divine Creator and Chief Architect of love, peace, joy, and freedom, thank you for trusting me with this privilege. You called, and I came. Now, God, do only what you can do in me and through me. Put your super on my natural so that the words that come out of my mouth will be as if I eavesdropped on the conversations between you and the hearers of this message. I love you. We love you. And we're so grateful that you love us more. And all that can and will say, amen. Friends, Christmas is my favorite time of the year. One of my earliest and fondest childhood memories of this time occurred when I was about 5 years old. It was Christmas Eve, and I was staying overnight at my grandma's place when I was awakened by the sound of my mother coming through the door with presents. Now, my five-year-old self was instantly confused. Why was Mama bringing in presents? Where was Santa? I had questions. Mommy, what are you doing here? Where is Santa Claus? And my mama, not skipping a beat, said, girl, Santa just left. So I dash to the window, trying to get a glimpse of Santa, looking to see if Santa was in the sky with his reindeer. I look to the left, I look to the right, no Santa. Disappointed, I returned to the sofa, which was my bed whenever I slept over at Grandma's house. Now, I guess my five-year-old self should have known better than to believe that I had actually missed Santa. I mean, after all, Santa is supposed to come down chimneys, but my grandma lived in the Lafitte housing projects in New Orleans. Now, I don't know if you ever lived in the projects or if you've ever been in a housing project, but let me just help you out here. In the words of the late Grammy-nominated rhythm and blues singer Sharon Jones of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, there ain't no chimneys in the projects. Ain't no chimneys in the projects. Not none. okay? But be not dismayed, because in the words of the late and great soul singer James Brown, Santa Claus indeed goes straight to the ghetto. And that ought to be good news for somebody. It was certainly good news for us. Through the years, Christmas Day was always a joyous day filled with lots of food and family and fun. And when I had my own two children, I continued some of the traditions that my grandmother and my mother, my late grandmother and my mother passed down that made Christmas merry and bright. Yes, I have fond memories of Christmas, but I also have painful ones. You see, the last time that I saw my mama was Christmas 2021. And before you draw any conclusions, let me just say that my mother is still alive, thank God. No, I've not seen my mother since 2021 because, as it turns out, Christmas traditions were not the only thing that was passed down in my family. Trauma and drama were passed down too. And unfortunately, a crisis that occurred in my household led to a chasm in my relationship with my mother. And without really getting into the dirty laundry of my family, let me just say this. Hurt people hurt people, because hurt people are unhealed people. Hear me well. It is almost impossible to have healthy relationships with unhealed people. In fact, you can't even have the word healthy without the word heal, because it's the first four letters of that word. Christmas 2021, I had to make a painful decision that has caused me much grief. To stay well meant I had to stay away from my family. And if my story is any indication, the holiday season is complicated. We know that for some, this marks a period of joy and family and celebration. But for others, this is a period of sadness, loss, and grief. And it is this experience of grief that I want to pin for the rest of the time that is mine. Now, grief is a noun that Merriam-Webster defines as deep and poignant distress, a cause of suffering, trouble, an unfortunate outcome, or disaster. As a retired mental health therapist, I can also tell you that grief is universal, meaning we all experience grief at some point. Grief is personal, meaning that we all experience it, but none of us experience it the same way. Grief is individual and communal. Sometimes we grieve alone or we grieve as a community. Grief is also biblical. Now, how you know that, Wilborn? Somebody might be asking that. I know that because I read my Bible. You see, the five poems that comprise the Book of Lamentations offer us a case study of grief. In Lamentations, we see individual and communal grief because Jerusalem and the temple have been destroyed by the Babylonians. The land was desolated and decimated, and death and destruction were all around. And the folks who survived found themselves existing between what systematic theologian Dr. Willie James Jennings calls diaspora and empire. We live in a time now where warfare and siege and famine, death and destruction are daily news. But for the people we encounter in Lamentations, this was an unprecedented social, political, and religious disaster. And so the text reveals that our faith ancestors did with what many of us would do if we experienced the unthinkable, the unbearable, the unimaginable. We try to make sense out of something that don't make no sense. We wrestle with God for answers. Why, Lord? Why us? Why me? Why now? How long? But I believe that Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 24 offers us a case study on moving from crisis to opportunity, from despair to hope. And if you will bear with this old therapist turned theologian for a second, I believe that this pericope can teach us a few things about moving from mourning to mourning. The first thing I think this pericope teaches us is that grief can be complicated because of some of the source of our grief. Sometimes that source of grief is others. The author of Lamentations, believed to be the prophet Jeremiah, tells us that the people were grieving because Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed by the Babylonians. The source of their grief was Babylon. But when we look at our own context, we find ourselves grieving because of who's no longer at the table because of death, divorce, dysfunction, disorder, disease, disinterest. We grieve because of someone else or something else. But if we are being honest, and I certainly hope we can be honest here, the source of some of our grief is us. We grieve because of our own choices and actions. And we see in Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah is grieving because he attributes the destruction and desolation of Jerusalem to the sins of the people. And just like the folks in Lamentations, we too find ourselves wrestling with God to make sense of our grief. I mean, God, I know I'm not perfect. I know I don't always listen to the Apostle Paul when he said that I should fix my thoughts on what's good and lovely and pure. And I mean, I know that my thoughts about my spouse or my partner or my ex or my children, my family are not always good, Lord. And yes, sometimes my colleagues get on my nerves and I don't always bless the people who cut me off in traffic, but I don't deserve this. Mourning is complicated. But I want us to know that sadness is a feeling just like any other feeling. But when sadness impairs and impedes your ability to function optimally, or is so deep that it causes suffering and it seems that life is not worth living, that is complicated. And I know because I've been there. I have felt like giving up. I have wanted to throw in the towel because sometimes the pain is just too much. The stress is too much. The world is too much. It can be complicated when you feel you're suffering more than you feel the Holy Spirit. Complicated. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 24 teaches us that grief is not only complicated, but also a process. You see, you can't go around grief. You have to go through it. To get from mourning to mourning means understanding that grief is a process that is neither linear, circular, nor time sensitive. It is selfish because it comes when it wants, how it wants, and it stays as long as it wants. Grief is a process. But I think that Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 24 also shows us that our perspective matters, because when you shift your perspective, you can shift your outlook. And we see it in the text, starting with verse 20. It says, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet, 21 says, I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. You see, when Jeremiah shifted his thinking, he remembered the God that he was talking to and the God that he was talking about. Because the God you see is the God you get. Perspective matters. And so if you believe that God is a creator, then you know that no creator creates a creation with the intention of that creation failing. If you believe that God is the chief architect of love and joy and peace, then you can take comfort in knowing that love, joy, and peace are part of the divine design for your life. Perspective matters, because your thoughts influence your feelings, and your feelings influence your behaviors. But the good news is that we don't have a gotcha scorekeeping waiting for you to fail God. Our God created us to live life, and life more abundantly. And that ought to give us some hope. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 24 reminds us of the power of prayer. Because when we look at chapter 2, verse 20, we see Jeremiah having a conversation with God where he's like, and I'm paraphrasing here, really, God? I mean, is this really who you are? A punishing, absent, unconcerned God who is okay with death and destruction and desolation? I mean, is that really who you are? Now, I don't know exactly what happened after chapter 2, verse 20 that led to chapter 3, verse 21, because the biblical record doesn't offer that detail. But what I do know is that Jeremiah's earnest and honest prayer in chapter 2 helped him to remember and rest in the hope of the God who is loving, faithful, merciful, and present. Power is in prayer to get us from mourning to mourning. And finally, to get from mourning to mourning, sometimes you can't just pray for help. Sometimes you gotta pay for help. Because if you're praying and still suffering, you need to get help. If you are praying and still shadow boxing and the shadow is winning, you need to get some help. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to silently endure. Seek the help of professionally trained mental health practitioners who can teach you strategies to get you from mourning to mourning. Our God is abundant. Prayer is a strategy, but it is not the only one. To get from mourning to mourning requires a holistic mind, body, and spirit approach. Beloved, wellness is holy. You cannot live well, love well, and serve well if you are unwell. Your well-being matters, because when you are well, I am well. And when I am well, you are well. And when we are well, the body of Christ is edified and God is glorified. This is a word from God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And so, my friends, we come to the table to which we are invited by name, to which we are invited to come just as we are. And as Tammy has invited us to do, we remember. And our liturgy together helps us remember the faithfulness of God to God's people from the beginning of time to this very moment as we gather. So I invite you to join us in our liturgy and listen for a word or a phrase that speaks to you, through which you can hear God calling you to this table for healing, for love, for grace. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy God, in this season of anticipation of the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise. You created all things and called them good. You made us in your own image and called us good. Even when we became angry or confused or turned against you, you did not desert us. You delivered us from captivity and made covenant to be our sovereign God. You spoke to us through your prophets and psalmists, who assured us of your constant presence and steadfast love. Therefore, with the prophets and the psalmists and all who looked for a better age to come, with your people in all ages and the whole company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations and to each of us. In Jesus, you offer comfort in the midst of pain and grief, and you bring hope to those who suffer in sorrow. You give assurance when we are uncertain, and you offer freedom from shame and guilt. And the promise of your never-ending love, from which nothing can separate us, we can claim peace and a quiet joy. Even when we can see but a glimmer, we know the light of your love overcomes all darkness. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself and freely accepted death on the cross. On the night in which he offered himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples. And he said, Drink from this, all of you. All of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from captivity to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And so, in remembrance of all of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer in union with Christ's sacrifice for us as a living and holy surrender of ourselves, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this cup, we know the presence of the living Christ, that we may be one body in him, cleansed by his blood, that we may faithfully serve him in the world and look forward to that day foretold by the prophets and apostles, when the one who came in humility, the one who comes tonight in word and spirit, shall come in final victory, the day when there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of God's children, we are bold to pray as Christ is teaching us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Though we come to this place hurting and hungry, in the body of Christ is a food that truly satisfies. This cup in which we share is the cup of overflowing and abundant grace, which connects us in love and friendship. This evening, you are invited not only to come forward to receive the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ, but also to engage in the prayer practices that Pastor Shannon mentioned at the beginning of our liturgy. You can come forward and light the candles on my right. You will see there are two different stations, and in that space to lift up a quiet prayer before God. You're also invited to come to the rail to pray. Pastor Carol and I will be anointing any who wish to receive prayer. And just to remind you that the anointing with oil is an ancient tradition of the church. It is recommended from the book of James that those who are seeking healing be anointed by elders in the church. We're living into that practice today as oil is a symbol of the healing love of God that comes to us as a gift through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you would like a prayer and anointing, if you come forward to the altar rail and just raise your hand, and Pastor Carol and I will come to you. Finally, I want to mention that in regarding our praying life together, that to my left are prayer shawls, which are a tangible way of us living into the loving embrace of God. You're welcome to go and to take one of those prayer shawls and either sit with it and remain with it in that space, or to go back to your pew and to take it and to pray and to feel God's loving embrace. You're also welcome. Our Creative Hand Ministry would be delighted if you took the prayer shawls that they lovingly made home as a reminder of how God encountered you in this space tonight, and a tangible assurance of God's love journeying with you always. Finally, we will be receiving the Holy Sacrament of Communion tonight through the practice of intinction. You'll come forward and Pastor Shannon and Tammy will give you a piece of bread. You'll then dip that piece of bread in the communion cup, which is grape juice, and you'll receive both elements at the same time. Christ our Lord is present with us as our risen Lord. And as a reminder, even in Christ's resurrection, he bore his wounds. Might you come to this feast tonight and receive the love and grace of our Savior. Thank you.
Emmanuel, God that is with us, hear our cries. Hear the cries of those who are in this room, those who may be watching online, and the cries of your gathered. Comforting God, give us only the peace that can come from you, knowing that you are with us from morning to morning. It is in your Son, Christ Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.
Loved that last line. In your waiting and hope, I am making you whole. Go with this benediction. God is making us whole. It feels painful at times, but God is making us whole. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.